That's a lengthy parable
or a story.
Always, sometimes the preacher, I don't like to go to church. All that preacher likes to do is tell stories. Well, Jesus was a storyteller. That's where we get it. We inherit it from Jesus. So telling stories is very important. And this story basically is about resentment. And I got one little commentary here in my Bible about resentment I want to share with you before I start my message. Ask God to forgive you for any resentment and open your heart in love even to those who don't deserve it. Talking about patience a while ago. And I want to reflect on the father in this story because he was very, very, very patient. And also look at something about famine. And the young man experienced famine while he was out doing his thing. And then he needed to return. But sometimes we get a famine of the heart. We humans are very competitive species. And when it comes down to it, that we aren't a whole lot different than many other in the animal kingdom. Yeah, we're part of the animal kingdom, but we're at the top of the heap because we're the only animal that can communicate with voice and hearing, compassion and love. We're unique. We're not like the lions and the crocodiles and the gators and whales and gorillas and ants. Even ants that bite you sometimes. They're extremely competitive also. And their behavior towards each other, especially vying for food, territory, and dominance. But when human beings, for the most part, the only ones who make great attempts to rise above, override our instincts in the name of greater good. We're not merely physical and territorial beings, us humans. We're complex creatures. And then while we may compete for basic needs and power and status, at the same time we harbor a deep spiritual hunger and yearn to find meaning and purpose in our lives, build relationships and community, and find fulfillment and peace within our hearts and our souls. If we are Jewish or Christian, we turn to find solace and guidance and God's direction for our lives. Especially when our instincts tend to bind us to our deeper needs. For when we allow our animal nature to run away, the more our lives fill with bounty, the more we deplete the fullness and the wellness of our spirit. When this happens, I'd like to say we also are experiencing famine of the heart. The scripture today that Travis read, Jesus tells us a story, what it means to experience a famine of the heart. He had been spending time teaching those who the religious authorities considered to be bad influences, tax collectors, and others that had committed sins of all kinds of things. And as usual, they began grumbling about it, gossiping, complaining about it, and throwing verbal, visual arrows at Jesus' way. So, in Jesus' usual style, instead of launching into a tirade of precepts, he began to tell a story. We call this story the prodigal son. Prodigal because the son in question recklessly and carelessly spent his entire inheritance on frivolous things. Because no matter what he did, he also just still remained the father's son. As it turns out, the particulars of this will be important because the question is this: who is experiencing the greater famine? Closer look at the story with the saga of the two sons. For Jesus, this may refer to two groups, the tax collectors and the sinners, the religious folks who like to follow the rules, or the errant son that feels the need to sow his wild oats, so to speak, and to request his inheritance, in which he goes out on a wild and woolly spending spree, trying to find fulfillment by filling his life with every desire. So now, here comes the famine part of it. He has a hunger. You notice the way that the scripture always uses metaphors to help us understand meanings implied. In this case, famine does not merely connote a lack of resources, but a spiritual and emotional and literal lack on the part of the young man. Because when he spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the region that he was living at the time, and he began to be in need. Up to this point, he had everything. He had money and everything like that. But when he lost it all, he began to have a famine, a physical famine and a famine of the heart. So his spiritual and emotional tank was empty. Now, we don't need to be an addict to understand this kind of emptiness and the desire to fill it. We've all experienced, I think, at one time, at some point in our lives, whether we've gone through a tough adolescence, a divorce, a sudden death loss, a loss of job or purpose, simply some big changes in our life, then we can't seem to find anything to fill that emotional pain and void with anything, something, anything, monetary, anything. But at some point, I love the buts in the ifs, it always runs dry and we face with our own existential pain. We call it like hitting rock bottom. When you hit rock bottom, you ain't got nowhere to look but up. Oh, God, help me. We call it that. And we call it by making a change and then moving on. In this case, the son, once his emotional and spiritual famine, as well as physical famine, because he was hungry, set in, he had to come to a Jesus moment. He understood the mistake that he had made. He knew he had messed up. He felt the need to repent without expectation. And he was humbled and willing to serve instead of being served. Daddy, treat me like one of your hired hands. I no longer am worthy to be called your son. And at that key moment, his life began. He was able to move forward again. He was able to grow and learn. He was able to re-embrace his life and make amends and start again. He was able to find his peace. So what was his father's reaction? Well, it certainly was not what either of his sons expected. The father is wise. He knows exactly what had happened. And instead of decrying the past, he embraces his son's future. He recognizes his repentance and delights in his return and celebrates his restoration, his resurrection, if you would. Because in a sense, his heart, which had suffered spiritual famine, had been revived again. So the father responds. Hey guys, let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead, now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Let's begin to celebrate. Now, at the first reading of this, we think, wow, this is the moral of the story. And the story is now over. No, the story is just beginning. The religious officials had enough trouble with the first part of the story, and they had been flabbergasted and indignant. After all, in their estimation, the father had been too lenient on this errant son. No real father would do such a thing. And they would grumble and mumble between themselves, but it is in true Jesus fashion. He continues on with the story. In a sense, the religious group had just become actors in the Jesus storyline, and they are angry brothers. In fact, their responses are likely the same as the second son in the Jesus story. Can you imagine nodding their heads in approval at the second son's rebuke? And yet Jesus continues on in response to the angry brother. And what the father said, the brother of yours was dead and now he's come to life. He was lost and now he's been found. Now there's something that people, news media, and you'll see commercials sometimes that come walking up telling their story, and they take their microphone and they hold it sideways and they drop it. I never understood that. But now I do. They were making a point. Jesus leaves it all right there. Mic drop. Boom. in silence, you can likely only hear a heartbeat. The heartbeat of the resurrection. Who in the story suffers from famine of the heart? Well, the second brother did also. He now had grown up following every rule and obeying every law and following every direction, remaining loyal to the household and to his daddy. But without the ability to celebrate his brother's win, without the desire to embrace his brother's repentance and resurrection, his heart remained sadly quiet. You see, for Jesus, not all death is physical. Not all resurrections is merely the resurrection of the body. The first son has had a resurrection of the spirit and a rejuvenation of his heart. The second requires the same. Last week we talked about Jesus' admonishment of those who judge and hold bias against those that they see as sinners. And Jesus tells us that judgment and bias is just as much as sinful than any other sin. This week, we see the repentance. Repentance is required not only for those who sin, but for those who resent the resurrection and the repentance of the sinner. Repentance is not only asked of the one who sins, but of the one who resents the resurrection and repentance of the sinner. Think about that. Sometimes we pass judgment, and we don't know what we're passing judgment on. The Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice, and only one who confesses the Lord. They have a party in heaven. You were once lost, now you are found. So the question asks us this. Are we able to celebrate the blessings of others? Or are we able to celebrate God's mercy upon others? I had a lady one time come running down the hall of church. It was right after Sunday school, right before the service. And, preacher, I need to talk to you. So-and-so teaching the Sunday school class said that Elvis is in heaven. Tell me it ain't so. He was a sinner. I said, no, Elvis is in heaven. So are we anchored into our own measure of mentality or imperial instinct that we feel only resentment and anger and envy and bitterness when a sinner commits to a change? Is it the lush green landscape of acceptance and growth or the barren dry desert of resentment and envy? Is our heart beating with Jesus' heart in the Jesus resurrection promise? You see, no matter who you are or what kind of sinner, Jesus offers you resurrection hope. It's a brand new, beautiful, beating heart. So put your hand on your heart this morning. Feel it. Go ahead, put your hand on your heart. Feel it beating. That's the promise of life with Jesus. It's amazing how we can go through life and don't realize the simple thing about physical life is a beating heart. And it does whether we know it or not. God knows it because he just went through a heart-related surgery, and maybe some of you others have too. It's amazing, the beating heart, the love of God.